You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, Mike McNamara with you, joined by the happiest kid in the kingdom, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
What's going on, man?
I heard from our friend in Africa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's like, I was pissing my pants hearing the Gunner go off about his glasses. I said, is that awesome or what? He said it was. He said it was awesome. He said, this is how I stay connected to the world, through you idiots. I said, well, that made you happier, didn't it? I mean, come on, think about it. And he goes, no, he said, I did. I thought about it, and I wrote it down. And so anytime I hear somebody's colorblind, I'll mention it to him. But he said it was cool. It was cool. So anyway, General Furness said to say, hey. I told him, I said, hey, I gave all those guys how to get in touch with you, but I'm sure they haven't done it. He said, no, they haven't. He said, that's okay. At some point, they'll pay. They'll need my help for something. And at some point, I'll lay the wood to them. So, anyway, just so you know.
Matt.
What?
I'm going through a little part of town that I knew I was going to lose you, reception. So
what did
I got you now?
What part of town?
It's Crescent, outside of Granbury. It's a little small town. They don't have cell phones.
They don't have cell phones. What are you doing today?
Driving up to Fort Worth, pick up some elk, and then coming back.
Some elk?
Yeah, some elk meat.
Really? What are you doing with elk? You have a hankering for elk, or what's the deal?
Eating it, yeah. No, a buddy of mine shot an elk up in Utah, so I got to pick up 5 cases of it and then drop off some. We're having a chili cook thing for all the law enforcement in Hood County on Thursday, and it's, you know, we do it every year, we do it, so it's a big elk chili cookout for the police and the sheriffs and the judges and the constables, you know, all of that stuff. Pretty cool.
So
all the Texas Rangers and DPS, High Patrol.
So why do you do this? What's the reason?
Every year. So it's just like, it's for everybody to come together and just kind of have a good time, good day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, sounds like a good deal, yes? And so what
group, yeah. I mean,
what group is it? I guess my question. It's not just you doing it.
No, it's we're going to do it at Ron, the big house on the ranch, at the Black Diamond Ranch at Ron's place.
Oh, the big house with the big man.
Yeah, well, he's not the big man.
I thought Ron
he's
was
got a big house. the big house. He's a big time Dallas lawyer, but in Granbury, he's just somebody, just a regular schmo.
He's just all right. The so, what was the big thing that you saw over the weekend that or what were the things you saw over the weekend? I'm sure there's more than one that made you go, whoa, check it out. I'm enjoying this kind of a Martian visits a planet. What did you see over the weekend, Mike?
It's still, like, the grass really is trippy, man. You know, as I'm driving right now, there's big open field. You look out there, and now you can see all, like, the little flowers and, you know, and the different colors of grass and, you know, It's just really kind of, it's just weird. I mean, it almost looks fake. But, you know, like I said, then I have to confirm it with people. Like, hey, does that look like that? And they're like, yeah, it's always been that way. I'm like, okay, just check it. You know, and then the on the freeway, you know, the signs that tell you those streets that are coming up are green and white.
Right.
You know, white lettering on a green background. And for the longest time, they've always been gray with white lettering. And then when I was in the city, I was like, holy shit. And, you know, like, what? What? And I'm like, you know, they're like looking around like, and I said, that fucking sign is green. And they're like, oh, man. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Who are
don't
you?
Don't do that. You know, you're scared the shit out of it.
Who are you? Do you get out much?
Yeah. No shit. That's what it's like. I mean, all the traffic signs are like the colors that you hear that they're supposed to be. You know, reds and yellows and, you know, all sorts of blues, greens. Like, that's cool.
What's the favorite thing? What's your favorite thing to look at now?
Just like out into the fields, like where the trees and the grasses are. The trees have so much color in them. They're not just brown blobs, you know, on the canvas.
All right.
And then once in a while, like I said, I look out and see colors, and you're like, holy shit. I can't wait till the bluebonnets come back, you know, in the big fields. So they grow wild everywhere out here. You know, that's going to be great.
What's a bluebonnet look like? I thought bluebonnet was margarine. No?
The flowers.
Oh, they are?
The bluebell.
I remember the Astrodome used to have the Astrodome Blue Bonnet Bowl years ago.
Yeah.
And that is a pretty flower. Now you're gonna get to see it. All right.
I know. That's cool.
I've got a couple gun emails for you. The first one was, could the gunner explain the bump stock again? I really not understanding how the damn thing works. What is it? Do you put it on the weapon? Does it replace
Yes.
your current stock? And
Yes.
how does it transform this thing from semi-automatic to really fast semi-automatic? What is it doing with the trigger? Don't you have to disengage the trigger to allow the sear to connect in order to re-engage this trigger again to make the weapon fire? Does it simply speed up that process and make it really fast? I don't understand. So
it skips that process of locking the basically the sear and then allowing it to go forward. So what you do is you take off your pistol grip, you take off your existing stocks. Now you got your buffer tube on the back of the rifle,
right?
And then the cavity where that your pistol grip would be, and then there's a block that comes to kit that attaches to the pistol grip, and then that allows for a channel for the stock to slide into, and then it just slides in. It's got a little locking mechanism on the back that it goes into one of the pivot holes on the back of the magazine or the buffer tube, and then it slides forward and back. Boom! It's like a piston. It goes back and forth freely on its channel. So when you pull the trigger, the recoil of the gun makes the gun slide back into the stock,
right,
and everything else, you're disrupting the mechanism for it to lock in place for the next shot. So, and then it just keeps on firing like that. It's kind of continuous.
So it interrupts the sear process?
Yeah, in the general terms, without getting too. But it's taking advantage of the gun's mechanical system and defeating the process. So, and I'm like I said, I'm not a fan of it. I think they should be banned. They serve no purpose. They're not accurate. They're not, other than like, oh, this is cool, you know. But they serve no purpose, none. And I get the whole, well, you know, but there's got to be a limit. Of, you know, common sense has to be applied. You know, 100 round magazines and bump stocks clearly are not in my bag. So
right, I'm with you. I'm with you. How many pieces? So there's the pistol grip. There's the
attachment device. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's the pistol grip and stock is one piece, and then there's something else that gets inserted as well.
Yeah, there's a little block that screws into where the pistol, the screw that holds the pistol grip in.
Right.
There's a little block that takes that place, and that all that does is allow it to slide back and forth freely.
Okay.
In a back and forth motion.
All right. Next question. Mac, I read an article over the weekend about suppressors, and to me there's a legitimate reason for suppressors if you're a sportsman. It would certainly take the pressure off your ears, for God's sakes, and make it, I think, more safe because you wouldn't have all that noise all the time when people start shooting, and if somebody yelled, they would hear it easily. In the military, certainly the ability to command and control is much greater. Also, a little bit of stealth is better. I'm curious, what percentage of the noise is knocked down? I get from my reading that it depends on what you pay for your suppressor, but
right.
I'm curious from the gunner's perspective, on an average priced suppressor, how much of the noise is dissipated by that thing?
On the if you're talking about the whole spectrum of suppressors, it would probably be 50%.
50?
Yeah, about 50. On the really good top end quality ones, you're talking about 80 to 85%.
Okay, so the notion that we see in the movie of the
you can do that. I mean, you can achieve that. Now, here's the problem, though, is, you know, you have a metal bolt in a metal frame operating, so you have that unlocking, disengaging, and then sliding back to the rear. That sound you can't silence, you can't suppress.
Right.
I mean, that's going to be a metal sound, that ker-chunk sound, you know.
Right.
You can buy subsonic bullets that have basically less powder in them, that are not going to go supersonic and have that bang as they break the sound barrier. So that'll reduce, again, some of the gas and everything else and the sound. You know, you can basically, I've shot like a .22 revolver suppressed, and if you can do it hammerless, so there's no metal striking metal, and it's the hammerless system, all you're hearing is the cylinder of the pistol click, you know, to the next chamber. Click, click, click. There's no sound. But when you start shooting, you know, normal ammunition through suppressors, you're going to get more sound. It sounds like if you've ever disconnected your airline to your air compressor, that's what it sounds like.
Wait, if you've ever disconnected your airline to your air conditioner?
Your air compressor.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's not a you can hear that noise.
Yeah, it's a rather audible, you know, you can hear it, but it's a lot quieter than a bang.
Right.
You know? Right.
Okay, so just as a rule of thumb, if people were going to buy a mid-range silencer,
suppressor.
Nice. The mid-range suppressor, it would eliminate about 50% of the noise. So it's still going to be a considerable noise.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. The
but not still it's not as bad.
It's not what?
It's not as loud as it normally would be, so it's still better.
Right. In terms of being a sportsman and wear and tear on your ears, right?
Right.
Got it. Okay. All right. email. The gunner is right. I am with him on there is no purpose to bump stocks, and it's not a hill I want to die on. About 80% of the gun community seems to be screaming, don't give an inch. Amazing the names that people will call you on Facebook. However, while I have no use for those goofy drum magazines, beware of concessions because I am not giving up my 30 rounders. I'm just amazed. I mean, when you're hearing that, 100 rounds, I mean, what are the odds? I don't think it was a drum magazine because I was watching somebody try to shoot one of those. Those things jammed all the time. I think it was simply just a long, elongated, normal magazine. It wasn't in any form of a drum. Just my humble opinion,
right.
Because it sounded too smooth and it functioned, right? It functioned incredibly well. You didn't hear like, you know, 30 rounds and then an interruption and then a long pause as somebody attempted to clear it. It functioned straight up. Mike, have you read any more about the attack in Las Vegas? I haven't gone out of my way to read it, but the headlines I've seen and the little snippets I've seen, obviously this guy planned this thing for a long time. Shit, even to the point where evidently he went and looked at Fenway. How about that? That's sickening.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anything else on it, and I just don't want to.
Right. I'm with
you. Because now it's all political.
Yeah.
You know, now it's all, you know, they're trying to, the whole wrapping their head behind, you know, let's find out why. You know, it's kind of like when I talked to the ladies this weekend, is you don't have to have the why. Just accept the fact that the world's a shitty place and go on with your life. And just be mentally prepared, you know, for these type of things. And if you get in a situation like that, you have a plan. And your plan could be as simple as you know where the exits are, you know where you park, you know where a link-up plan is if you're with somebody and you get separated. You know, just simple things. And, you know, and people say, there are people who say, well, you know what, I refuse to go through my life being, you know, like that. Then okay. Then go through your life being scared. That's fine. I refuse to allow my life to change in any other way. I've always been the person that kind of has, you know, backup plans. As I go through an intersection in a car, I'm always anticipating, you know, someone not paying attention to coming through it. So I'm looking left and right, even if I'm coming in, even if I have the right of way.
Right.
It doesn't make it that it's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, I was a green light. I don't know why they hit me. Because they're stupid. Because people don't pay attention. People don't care. People, whatever reason, don't worry about the why. You drive yourself fucking crazy. Take care of what you can, and that's yourself. Mentally prepare yourself. Don't worry about other fucking people. What's this person doing in front of me? I don't care. You know, why is that person following too close to me? I don't care. I have no control over it. And that's what this news does. It wants to put the fear in people. And, you know, because people like that kind of stuff, I guess, and it sells. And, you know, and then they can bring on more panel experts of talking about mental condition, this and that. It's like, fuck. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the more you watch this, the more that people, you know, read. To me, the thing I've learned the most about in all of this is the mental health issue that is where these people come from. But you can't do anything. You can't do anything with them. You know, because they have their right.
Right.
So, you know, until we're ready to say, if you get this diagnosis and you're on these medications, this letter by law is sent to your...
By a judge.
Yeah, is sent to your family. And
you know,
and it's a letter that says so-and-so's weapons so-and-so's weapons should be taken away from him, blah, 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 blah. But can you...
Yeah, but I mean...
But who enforces it, you know?
Right. Who enforces it? And if, let's say, you know, your brother or your, you know, your adult son is needs 24/7 care, you know, and you can't provide it, who pays?
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, here's an email. I guess what we're going to come to conclude is if you have certain diagnosis, you don't have access to all your constitutional rights because you pose a threat to the community. It would be simply the same thing that we say to convicted felons. You don't have all the rights of the rest of us Americans because you're a convicted felon. The right to own a weapon, the right to vote, in many cases, is taken away from you because of your behavior. Now, we certainly don't condemn people with mental health issues, but I think we see what we see. From what I heard Mac reading last week, 33,000 gun deaths and 22,000 of them are suicide? Hello? Ha-fucking-low. When are we going to get serious about mental health? The picture after listening to this program last week that I got, and I'll quote Mac, if you subtract the 22 from 32, you get 11,000 gun deaths in the country. If you back out the drug and gang violence from that, what you're left with is about 5,000. If you back out the domestic violence, what you're left with is about 3,000 gun deaths that are attributed to things other than drugs, gangs, suicide, and domestic violence. That's pretty fucking good, in my opinion, for as many guns as we own in this society, and it says a lot about the responsible gun ownership that goes on in our society. I don't have a problem with people that have mental health issues being denied that right. We've seen this time and again that mass murderers, it's not a gun issue, it's a brain issue. But I don't know that we'll ever, I don't know that we will ever come to that as a nation.
No, because who wants to condemn, you know, again, their uncle, their aunt, their brother, their sister, you know, and have them be treated, you know, they just, that's going to be a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And, but yet the arguments for gun control, pass more gun laws.
No.
You know, wake up. Criminals don't follow laws. Thus, that's why we call them criminals.
Yeah, but again, if you delve, again, and let me just tell you, if you haven't looked at that whole series at 538, go to the website, our website. There's an article posted there. You can follow the links, or just go to 538.com, and it's all spelled out, 538.com, and start, and just in the search thing, they have this awesome graphic, okay? They have this big rectangle with 33,000 dots in it, okay? It's called Gun Deaths in America, and you start clicking through it, right? And so that, and then they show you how it works. And then they show terrorism, mass shootings, police officers killed, and civilians killed by police. It might be three, four, five rows. Then they bomb in suicide. Two-thirds of the things taken up. You're like, holy shit. Right? Then it looks like 85% of suicide victims are male. Right? 50% of all suicide is male older than 45. And they break it down. Another third of all gun deaths, about 12,000 in the total year, are homicides, right? Of the homicides, most are young men between 15 and 35. Two-thirds of those are black. And then women compose another, you know, almost 2,000 of that 12,000. And then the remaining are accidents. And as you walk through, you're like, and then God bless these data dorks for doing this that have turned journalists, because it's like, those are the numbers? Yes. Well, shit. I would never know that by watching the debate.
Right.
And so...
you would think a million people.
Oh,
a million
shit.
People will out there.
Well, you know what? I had a similar experience when I went to nuclear weapons safety school as a first lieutenant. I'd left the fleet, gone to the USS Ranger. They sent me to, you know, go learn how to guard nuclear weapons and why we do what we do. So I go there, and actually it was a pretty cool weapon. It was a pretty cool school. Actually, my whole tour on the Ranger was pretty cool because it's like going to the zoo. You're doing all these things that you don't normally do as a Marine. And while some of it's boring, a lot of it's really interesting. Seeing the Navy operate around the world and, you know, living in the world that you wouldn't normally live at in and seeing stuff you wouldn't normally see. So I go there. They have replicas of the two bombs dropped at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so then, you know, on the first day, this kind of salty LDO lieutenant commander standing up there. So he's equivalent to a lieutenant colonel in his flight jacket. And he's like, how many people do you think got killed at Hiroshima? And you're like, oh, I don't know, 250,000. He's like, no, 67,000. You're like, what? How about Nagasaki?
Yeah.
And he's like, 100,000, 58,000. And you're like, what? And, you know, it blows your mind because you've never heard these numbers. And he said, so let me just tell you, nuclear weapons, you know, there's all this, you know, and they're huge weapons, no doubt. He said, but they have limitations. And you're going to learn about the ins and outs of them and how we protect them and why we protect them, blah, blah, blah. To me, this issue is the same way. And you're looking at the data and you're going, shit, the data doesn't make any sense to me because what I'm seeing on TV is not related to what's real. And let me read this. This email dumps more fuel on it. Mac, this is my problem with Black Lives Matter. I've heard you and the Gunner talk about training programs for police department that ought to be instituted on a regional basis when you guys were talking about that a few months ago. You guys...
Hang on, I'll be right back.
All right. You guys will certainly be part of the solution to it because that's the kind of guys you are. You don't see color. You lived in a colorless world. Black Marines were Marines. Hispanic Marines were Marines. Hold on. Let me adjust my monitor here. My point in all of this is if Black Lives Matter, where the hell would you save the most Black lives? You'd save it in black-on-black murder relative to gangs and drugs. I don't see that even being discussed. All I see being discussed is the number of police deaths that occur. And I just don't see how that it makes any sense. I've stopped watching
it's the... It's not made to make...
I know.
It's
well,
not made
you know
to
what?
Make sense.
That's what we're getting to. I've stopped watching the NFL, and it's actually nice. On my Sundays are now free days. We go and do stuff. I used to watch two football games and then one in the evening and spend my whole day. Now it's a free day on my schedule. I guess what I'm learning, and I want to thank you for the way you do the program because you seem to be honestly about the truth wherever it takes you. And I just don't understand. Appreciate the program. Well, let me just tell you the world we live in, and this goes to Mike's talking about earlier today, about more and more people simply unplugging from it. I can't take it. The world we live in, it doesn't have to be true. You just have to fucking scream it. You have to scream it. And once you scream it, then it needs to get, then social media picks it up and it goes right through the overhead. And then you need one of the national news organizations to pick it up and send it through the stratosphere.
Yes, sir.
And that's how it works. White supremacists, right? They rallied. Did you know, Mike, they rallied over the weekend?
No.
Yeah. They rallied over the weekend. There was 10 of them. There was a 10-minute protest. It drew 40 to 50 people. they sang Dixie and chanted slogans like "The South will rise again." That's a joke. 40 to 50 people for 10 minutes. That's a fucking joke. That's news. That's nothing. It's nothing.
Well, it's news because it's
sex sells, baby.
You know, it's pouring salt on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll sell.
It's a joke, yeah. but that's the world we live in today. It doesn't have to be true, right? Michael Brown wasn't getting on his knees putting his hands up. That wouldn't happen.
Right.
The Las Vegas police didn't racially profile Michael Bennett. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, I, again, it's interesting because in this whole discussion now about guns, you're seeing the same kind of shit. The truth doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just the agenda that I want to push. I'm going to link it to this issue, and then we're going to push it. And I think it's awesome that the NRA has even said, hey, look at bump stocks. We don't like them.
Yeah. I just want, it's the whole premise of controversy, man. The more I can, you know, make things more controversial, the more it's going to sell, more people are going to be interested in it. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, it's another reason to unplug from it and just say, I'm not doing it. I don't do it. Like, I mean,
right.
I look at the news, but I don't have it on my phone. I go and I live my life. I don't check it all the time, and I'm very discerning, /discriminating on what comes through to me, because too much of it is too much. I can't take that kind of shit the way they like to serve it to me. Another email.
Yes, sir.
Mac did the Gunner Watch the Red Sox over the weekend. Awesome.
Yeah. We're not talking baseball, though.
Mookie. Yeah, that's pretty. The game at Fenway was a good game. So I enjoyed it. And there's four games. The first one, the Red Sox play in 10 minutes, right? Ooh, man.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't know?
Well, I'm out. I'm in Fort Worth, man. And actually, I'm going in right now to link up with Ron at the Railhead Smokehouse Barbecue.
That's right. The Red Sox, 10 minutes. All right, I'll let you go. Have a good day. Tell Ron. Tell Ron we said hey.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
bye.
That is Michael Musselman, the man who can see now. Let me read you another email. I was sitting here thinking about your comments relative to Ferguson. I guess the truth was that you have social media and news networks just primed for these kind of issues. And then on the other side, we have law enforcement that takes way too long to get basic facts to the public. And so, in the absence of any information, you have guys like Don Lemon out there every night in the streets just spewing the hate. I'm with you. The world I live in is the world that I've seen in Texas since after the flood, that I've seen in Puerto Rico, that I've seen in Florida. All of those are Americans helping Americans. I don't have any doubt that there's bad police officers around the country. I don't have any doubt that that stuff needs to be improved. It seems to me, though, our national media likes to take the worst parts of our culture and shove it in front of us to their benefit with no context. I wonder what Walter Cronkite could say if he could see that broadcast. I honestly do. A truly professional would look at that and say, what? Hey, we're not really portraying a balanced portrait of this. Interesting. It is the times in which we live, though. It is certainly the time in which we live. Here's another email about baseball. I'm a baseball fan. This is the best time of the year. I want these games to all go five games. He meant series. The intensity last night in Yankee Stadium was awesome. Pitch by pitch, agony, all the way down to the last pitch. I love this stuff. For people that say baseball's too slow, that's how I know they're stupid. They're stupid. Baseball is awesome. If you watch what pitchers try to do, you watch where the catcher sets up and what they're throwing. It is a chess game, an intense public chess game with way too many people watching. But with environments like Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium, the intensity of the games, it is the best time of year. Looking forward to today. I'm not doing shit at work. I'm not doing shit at work. All right, we're going to take one more break. We'll come back, wrap things up. Mac, 538. I'd never heard of it before your program. Holy shit, what an awesome website. I know sometimes numbers can lie, but I'd become a fan of reading their statistical analysis in a way that we tend not to get from Washington, D.C. Hey, I'm totally with you. That's what you want to know. What I love about 538 is exactly that. I've always said, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining, right? I don't like that. And people love to do that kind of shit to you. And one of the things that, and I chuckle when I just thought about it, but Mike and I were both of the same kind of, cut from the same bolt of cloth. And that's why, you know, we had such a good, you know, organization in Afghanistan. Because we had all the guys that were with us were like that. And so, so you'd be in a meeting and somebody would be running that bullshit. And one of us would say, wait a minute, what did you just say? You got to be kidding me. And instead, like a lot of meetings, you'll sit there and people will give him at least, you know, I won't say, yeah, they'll give him like the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, oh, geez. okay. And they'll listen and blah, 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 blah. No, we didn't do that. And especially if they acted like a little bit like they knew what they were doing. You know, we had all been around enough and we had worked with great people, you know, that, you know, one of them's in the White House now, you know, another one runs the Pentagon, another one works directly for the one that runs the Pentagon. So, he runs the United States military, the other one runs the Pentagon. So, you're around those guys, you learn what's up and what's down and you learn, you know, how to make sure things stay pointed in the right direction. And you can't do it without the truth. I remember, this is from the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Mac, the hardest thing when you go out as a general officer is to get people to talk and tell you what they need. They want to tell you everything else but what they need. Dog and pony, PowerPoint, all this nonsense. I want to know what's really going on and how I can help. And if they won't be square with you, you know, how do I help? The answer is, I can't. Very frustrating. Very frustrating. Let me tell you what you're going to hear. If you're just joining us, you're joining us late. Some people do. What I would tell you is this. We talk about the filibuster a little bit. The United States Senate is broken, right? This whole notion of the character of the Senate. I don't want to hear that shit anymore, right? The Senate is a second body in a bicameral legislature, okay? The House runs on time. The Senate is dysfunctional to the point of doing incredible harm to the democracy. And there are these silly, archaic rules like the filibuster that follow them, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to follow them historically. So the Senate begins to meet, and it is simply they call the question, right? You're going to debate something. And when I sat on the city council, you know, you debated something, and most people, you know, don't call the question. I mean, they think, because they know your constituents want to hear you debate. And my city council was on TV, and a lot of people watched. And so when you were going to talk about an issue, you talked about it. And then when everybody had their say, or when it got to two people going back and forth, somebody would. And there was kind of a natural meter to it called, I called a question. I second it. All in favor? Yay. All against? No. Right? All right. The motion passes. You know, and then we'd do the roll call vote, and you'd vote it up or down. That's the way it works. So the character of the Senate, bullshit, man. Bullshit. And I'll tell you what, I used a little in when I put a blurb out. Well, the post on Almarine Radio, I'll talk about that real quick. I used in that C-SPAN interview, I used the about the filibuster. So the title of it that I've already put up was The Filibuster, Our Dysfunctional U.S. Senate and Other News. So that was hour one today, right? So there's on the screen at C-SPAN was the question. Right, and to me, it cuts right to the chase of the filibuster. And this was a question when Norm Ornstein was on talking about it. So the question was this: what happened to majority rules? That's what we used to have. The filibuster was to give everyone their say, not to rule the land. And what it's become is a mechanism to rule the land, to stop things, to stop people being nominated, to stop legislation. And it was never, I mean, again, it's not historically in the rules set forth by the Founding Fathers. 1805, it's established by the consent of the Senate. What they do is they take out, call the question. Is that motion seconded? I second. Is it passed? And then we vote. They took that out. What they put in its place, and you hear this, and it doesn't mean shit to you, but it should in the future, with unanimous consent, and nobody says anything, and then they continue. Okay? Unanimous consent. That's what it requires. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. So, but again, I enjoy when things that I don't know, and as I said, Ohio man wire brushed me. And now I'm sure he's doing research on it. But his point was changing the democracy is supposed to not be easy. Well, I got that. But that's why we have two houses, right, to push to the middle. The two houses are designed very differently. But this whole filibuster thing has turned our government upside down. I mean, think about it. The nuclear option. Allow the Senate to simply have a vote. They simply voted on a nominee for the Supreme Court. That's all it did. Yep. That'll do it. On a Monday. I'm thinking. Yeah, baseball on today. Get ready to start at Fenway Park in Boston. I want the Red Sox to win today. I want to see it go five games. I love the tension and that stuff. Places go crazy. Yeah, anyway. Have a great afternoon. My thanks, in order of appearance, are the folks at C-SPAN. Norm Ornstein, you're going to hear him momentarily. And then also my thanks to Commander Salamander. Yeah, and that's his nom de plume. He keeps his identity private, but he runs a blog, and you can check it out, Commander Salamander. So just search that. There's only one of them, and you'll find his blog. Check it out. But he came on, and he talked about the issues involved in the service Navy. And they're not small issues either. But I would separate them. There's manning and equipment and equipping. There's training. There's leadership. And when you don't have leaders, for instance, when you resort 100% to some kind of electronic means and nobody's watching, I can't conceive of that in the United States Navy, but I guess that's what they did. I guess that was okay in the 7th Fleet. So anyway, Commander Salamander came on and he talked about those kind of issues. And then, as always, my thanks to Mike Musselman, the gunner, for coming on and explaining suppressors, bump stocks, and then also talking with us. So have a great afternoon on a Monday. All Marine Radio, over and out. This program repeats itself starting right now.